Well, good morning. You feel rich today? We may not have everything we want. I don't. But do I have everything I need? Sometimes I tell God that that's not true either, but are we rich? Well, today's message is I Am. It is part of a series that we've been in for most of eternity now. And the I Am series, the purpose is to look into the face of Jesus, to just come to his feet and see him. I Am. Jesus claimed, I am. And so today's message is, I am your redemption. I am your redemption. And so what's the rest of the title? I didn't bring my bulletin up and I didn't write it on my notes. And I went through so many, possibilities yesterday. And what did I end up with? I am your redemption. And so respond while you can. Respond while you can. Redemption. In life, we have moments of redemption. Temporary redemption. Have you ever heard anyone say, he really redeemed himself? Or she really redeemed herself in that situation? Have you heard anything like that? It oftentimes is in regards to someone who has made a lot of mistakes, had a lot of failures, but then they really came through in the clutch. They later made huge contributions. Somebody that was working, that failed their job miserably, but then made huge contributions, made a lot of changes at the end of their life. And the phrase is, they really redeemed themselves. Think about a baseball game. Someone may have came to the plate, you know, four times, struck out every time, and just had a miserable game. But what happens? They hit a walk-off home run to win the game. They really redeemed themselves. Yeah? Even Michael Jordan lost games and missed a lot of shots. But, you know, maybe somebody's missed 25 shots in the games, did horrible at the free throw line. But they make the game-winning three-pointer at the buzzer. They redeem themselves. Or a quarterback that's in a football game and it just can't find its rhythm. Maybe he's been sacked four times and 20 incompletions and three interceptions. But if he keeps fighting and he comes down to that last second of the game when he throws the touchdown to win the Super Bowl, that quarterback really redeemed himself, right? These are sports analogies and not all of us can relate to sports real well. But it's something that when somebody has just a lot of failures and then they really pull through, that's a phrase that we use. When it comes to our spiritual life, there is not a chance and there is no way that we can redeem ourselves. We do not have any redemption in us that we can fix our spiritual life. We can't do enough good things. We can't be good enough to earn salvation. We can't follow the rules and laws and obligations well enough to make up for all of our bad choices. Has anybody made? I've made bad. Have you made bad choices?
What?
Even Abe's shaking his head. Come on now, y'all.
Still do.
You don't care if I point you out, right? We've all made plenty. I'm saying that how many times have I said this? I'm going to have to fight Paul, not this Paul, but I'm going to have to fight the Apostle Paul when I get to heaven for that title, you know, chief of sinners. To redeem is to buy back something. It is to regain a possession that you had previously, a possession that was lost. And it's accomplished by making a payment. To redeem something, you have to make a payment to get it back. If they repossess a car temporarily because you haven't paid, you have to make payments to get your possession back. Kind of redemption, but spiritually to redeem is to buy us back and to save us from our sins. Christ purchased us with his blood. And he did it to buy us back, to bring us back into his possession, so that we can have a relationship with God. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were in a perfect relationship with God and with each other. How many of you are in a perfect relationship? We got one. I mean, come on. You never argue? You never say a hurtful thing? You never get angry with each other? Are you in a perfect relationship? Are you always in complete agreement with each other? When Adam and Eve sinned, it caused death. Physically, it took a while, but the wages of sin is death. Physically, we're born and we eventually die. It's a gradual thing. But spiritually, when they sinned, spiritual death happened immediately. Happened immediately. It caused a separation in their relationship with God Almighty, with our Father. Abba, Father, the one who loved us, created us in his image. Adam and Eve no longer had face-to-face communion with God because of their sin. And from that point forward, right up to today, our sin requires death and blood to cover and forgive and cleanse. The very first physical death was an animal in the garden to clothe Adam and Eve. Right? Listen to, this is Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Their idea, they came up with a bunch of fig leaves. God said that wasn't quite enough. The covering wasn't good enough and the cleansing wasn't good enough. And so it required an animal sacrifice to shed his blood. So what's taking place here in Genesis chapter 3? Adam and Eve have sinned. You know, they did the one thing that God said don't do. I've given you everything, but don't eat the fruit in the middle of the garden. It's just one tree. Stay away from it. Oh, no. She's got to be wandering. And listen, she was wandering towards the tree, but he was right behind her. Because she didn't go up. He was right there. When she took the fruit, she's like, here, try this. He's like, oh, that's pretty good. I kind of like you, and the fruit's good, too. So they eat the fruit. One command, one thing they couldn't do, and they did it. Oh, what a decision. You know, they came to this fork in the road, and they go right. They obey God. They go left. Complete disaster. Each one of us have that every day, don't we? We're kind of on this highway, right? A path. God directs our paths. We're on a highway. And we're going down the highway, and there are so many, many different paths we can take. We got exits. We got some of the exits look good. You know, some of the exits, if you're traveling a highway in Colorado, some of the exits promise beautiful scenery. Some of the exits promise exciting times of rock climbing and just, you know, exits. Why not take them and enjoy what's to the left and to the right? But God directs our paths. And so he calls us to a path. He says what? He said, there's two paths. There's a wide and a narrow. The wide path, not so good, leads to destruction. But the narrow path leads to life. Unfortunately, not many people find it. It's something to think about. 80% of our government says they're Christian. I'm not judging here today, but enough said about that. Few that find it. God has created us to be on the path that he has for us. And don't we all struggle with wanting to do our own thing? I do. I start going this way, and I'm like, well, Lord, I hope you bless that. You know? Let's come back to the garden for a moment. So God is walking in the Garden of Eden. And it says they used to walk together in the cool of the day. God is walking in the garden, and he calls out to Adam, and he says, where are you? Now, God has not lost him. He asked that question so that Adam is aware that he is lost. Where are you, Adam? And Adam answers and he goes, well, you know, I kind of heard you coming over there. And I was a little afraid because I was naked. And I really didn't want you to see me that way. And so I hid. And God says, what? Who in the world told you were naked? Who told you that? Well, we ate the fruit. His fear was because of the shame he had, because now his sin was exposed and his sin was known. If we agree, if Satan bangs you over the head and says, if he says to me, you know, you're really kind of a horrible person. Okay, you got me. Man, I can't argue. If we just expose what we've done, There is freedom in the healing. I'm not saying you have to get up and tell 10,000 people. But tell somebody. Ask for prayer. If we just expose what we've done, if we just admit it, yep, this is how I failed, there is healing in the confession. Well, God hands down a curse to Adam, to Eve, to the serpent. It affects all of humanity. It affects the whole planet. It affects all of creation. Scripture says that all of creation groans to be renewed and healed. And then he made these garments of skin. He killed this animal. The blood cleansed them temporarily. The skin covered them, covered over their nakedness. And it was precisely a foreshadowing of what is required. Wages of sin is death. It's a foreshadowing of what's required for sin, and it's a foreshadowing of what Christ did for us. It took the flesh and blood sacrifice of Christ, a perfect Lamb of God, in order to offer salvation and forgiveness to humanity, so that he could clothe us with his righteousness, give us his Spirit to cleanse us and make us whole, to redeem us. He had enough money in his righteousness to redeem us, to buy us back and to restore us into a relationship with our Father. What amazing love that our God had that would do that for us. All kinds of songs pop into my head about amazing love. Listen, y'all, we cannot redeem ourselves. We don't have enough money in our spiritual bank accounts. Our redemption only comes through Jesus Christ. We can't be good enough. We can't do enough good things to be considered righteous. We can't obey God enough so that we can come into his presence. Our redemption comes only through Jesus. But in that, the hope is that our past, our failures, our sins, thank God, my past does not have to define me. I don't talk about my past much here. I might not be standing here today if we had social media when I was in college. I'm just saying. It's as honest as I'm going to be with you today. But I'm so glad phones didn't have cameras back then. I'm so glad there weren't phones back then. Our past does not have to define who we are today. It does not have to confine us, restrict us, imprison us, or limit us because of our mistakes. Amen? As we place our faith in Jesus and repent from our sins and turn away from them and turn towards God and obey him, he cleanses us, yes? And we are just as valuable as we were, aren't we? Why don't you come up here, mister? I got to be honest, we're going to have an object lesson today. And this is compliments of Richard. And it's something you saw on what? Facebook, social media, somewhere, YouTube, probably not TikTok, you're not, you know. Mama won't let you on TikTok. Don't do that. Yeah, I'm on all of them, whatever. Snapchat. I don't like Snapchat. I'm going to tell you. Do you like Snapchat? Are you fans of Snapchat? My fingers do. I'm pushing all kinds of. Did I ever tell you about the Snapchat picture I sent? I told you, yes?
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to send a message, and I was trying to put together this little emoji that had a spinning face, and the spinning face was supposed to go from a to a. And I'm putting these together, and my finger accidentally hit something, and the video is someone got flowers from a secret admirer, and they're like, who is this from? And then they're kind of afraid, like, who's the secret admirer? Well, the emoji that I actually sent was a smile face that went into a kissy face. I don't like Snapchat. Anyhow, I was never so embarrassed.
What's a kissy?
Really? Yep, evidently I'm the secret admirer. Anyhow. Can you see what this is? If you cannot see, it's a $100 bill. $100 bill. Pretty valuable, right? I mean, in any society, this is still fairly valuable. Almost brand new. Crisp, clean, not even folded, not been in a wallet, not smelly. Pretty good value. You're going to come to the middle.
I told you this is going to pain me.
What if the $100 bill is crumpled? We discussed this. This is not defacing government property.
We looked this up.
We're not drawing on it. We're not making pictures. We're not putting bad words. What if it stepped on? Getting dirty. What if it's torn just a little? Just a little.
It's a gray area.
If it just pretend to tear, maybe. Yeah, that's good. Don't tear the thing out. Okay, that's good. I don't have scotch tape with me. Come on. You want the $100 bill now? It still is valuable, yeah. If you take it to the bank, it's just as valuable, isn't it? No matter what we've been through, no matter what we've done, we're still just as valuable, yes? We haven't had an object lesson since COVID. I said a little bit. I have to edit that out.
I'll go to the bank tomorrow after school.
It's just as valuable. Do you remember? See if I can do this. Do you remember? We are clay pots, yes? Remember? We're clay pots. And remember, we go through life and we kind of end up a crackpot. Crackpot. And we try to put ourselves back together. I got super glue, but I've got pieces, parts missing. You don't put this on your front stoop with a beautiful flower in it. This is, maybe you put something in the back. This is how we try to put ourselves back together, yeah? You can take your $100. There you go. It was his $100 bill to begin with, so. Didn't hurt me any. But. God does what? He doesn't just put us back together. Does he? He doesn't just try to put the pieces back together. He makes something new and beautiful. Right? He takes what we were and all of our mistakes and make something beautiful out of us. Now, how's that for an introduction? Just kidding. For those of us that are in Christ Jesus, how much condemnation do we have on us? Come on. How many times have I said it? How much condemnation do we have on us?
None.
Romans 8:1. For those in Christ Jesus. Now, in Christ Jesus means we place our faith in him. We turn from the things he doesn't want us to be involved with. We trust him. We obey him. We follow him. But for those in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation on us. When?
Where we're right.
Tomorrow? Who else can say that word? Now. Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation on us in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean we keep doing what we do. It means we repent and turn. No condemnation. The demons believe in Jesus. This is not just a mental brain activity to believe. Jesus had a half-brother, James, who did not believe in his deity until after Jesus rose from the grave, right? Till after the resurrection. But his half-brother, James, wrote a letter, and in that letter, in the New Testament, it says the demons believe in Jesus. Do we have more than just a belief? The demons believe. They know he exists. They know he's God, but they don't have faith in him. They don't follow him. They don't obey him. Faith requires those things. Well, moving on, in John chapter 12, Mary anointed Jesus. This was towards the end of his life. And now this is Mary, the sister of Lazarus. Not the Lazarus from our text today. That is a different Lazarus. But Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, Mary anointed Jesus with a very costly perfume. And this is Mary's brother Lazarus that had died, and was in the grave for 4 days. There's no doubt after 4 days that someone has died. And yet Jesus raises him back to life. It is this Lazarus and Mary and Martha. This Mary is the one that anointed him. And it was a very costly perfume. And Judas, one of the disciples, if you'll recall, he starts complaining and he says, that could have been sold and the money given to the poor. We have poor today. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He goes, listen, y'all, you're going to always have the poor with you. You can help them anytime. I am not going to be with you forever. Now, he was speaking specifically about his physical life. He would not always be with them. And he still hasn't come back. He still isn't here physically. But for those that accept him, we have him, that he lives in us. And for those that haven't accepted him yet, he's still available today. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen to this world tonight. I don't know what's going to happen to my world tonight. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going to be driving. But for everybody that is still alive today, he is still available, right? John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes would have eternal life. But here's the sobering thought. There is coming a day when he will not be able to be found. What are we doing in our own life? What are we doing in the lives of those around us to share Jesus with them now while he can be found? There is coming a time when he's going to shut the doors to the kingdom and it's over. And those that have rejected Christ all their lives, the Pharisees, I think about the Pharisees, they rejected Christ even after he rose from the grave. And this is what was said in our text today to the rich man. He goes, well, at least send word to my family. Send somebody from the grave. And what the very thing that was going to happen, Jesus said, even if somebody rises from the grave, they're not going to believe them if they don't believe the prophets, meaning the word that they already had, the Bible. The Bible didn't exist yet, but the word. In Isaiah, in chapter 55, it says, chapter 55, verse 6, Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. We've got to share Christ while he can be found, because there's coming a day when he's not going to be able to be found. In Amos, not my notes, in Amos chapter 8, I think it's verses 11 and 12, God says, you know what? There's going to be a time when there's a famine, not of bread, not of water, but of my word. I think about the tribulation period. We were talking about this in Bible study the other night. When the Antichrist really comes to power and he comes back to life and he says, I'm God. There's going to be a time when he will not tolerate any other religion in the world except to worship him. There's going to be a time when Bibles are destroyed, this happened years and years ago, right? Book burnings, remember? What are we going to do? What are the people going to do? What are we doing? It gives me a little comfort to watch other people on the internet preaching and lose their place in their notes. We need to be seeking the Lord now. And whether you've accepted Christ as your Savior or not, even for those of us that have, I told Bible study the other night, you know, Jesus says, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. I don't give God all my strength any day of the year. I don't give him all my strength. I am so involved in so many things. We need to seek the Lord, follow him, place our faith in him, obey him, love him, while we have breath in our lungs and life in our body. Because once we have died, once somebody has died, unless they're raised back to life like Lazarus was, he was given a second chance to live however God called him to. But most of us don't get that. My cousin was raised back to life momentarily. They were on an airplane from Cleveland to California. They had a layover in Chicago. After they boarded the plane in Chicago, they're over Kansas somewhere, and he dies My cousin died in flight. They land the plane in Kansas, and they revive him momentarily. But it was very short-lived. 62 years old, just retired. We have to make the most of our life. I think Francis Chan said so many things this morning in Sunday school. What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to give up to have God, to show Christ? What are we? What evil things of this world? And all of us, come on now, all of us have something that tie our hearts to the world more than it does to God. All of us. If we say that we don't, if we say that we don't have sin, well, then that's actually one of your bigger sins that you need to deal with first. That was one of Job's issues, right? I don't know why all this calamity has come on me. I'm a good person. I haven't done anything. I don't deserve any of this. Well, you are a good person. But God says, but yet, I'm going to state the obvious if we don't already know, and some of us are. Some of us are dealing with this past week. We don't know when our lives are going to end. We don't know. I have screenshots of numerous obits. Numerous. Not because I'm morbid, but because I want to see the reality that we don't know when our life is going to end. The age range of these obits are just all over the place. There was a young couple on YouTube that was pregnant this past winter, and she had a miscarriage with their second child. It's devastating, even when the life was still yet unborn. A family up in Wayne County, a son, a grandson, 25 years old, he was a truck mechanic. I think just died this past week. I think it was this past week from a work-related accident. There's a young girl in Oklahoma walking along with a friend, and she was struck by a truck. Died at the age of 16. An evangelist and president of an organization called Every Home for Christ, after years of ministry, passed away. I believe it was this spring at the age of 81. Are you seeing the numbers here? Just this past week in Worcester. A couple days ago, a sophomore went out, played a baseball game. After the game, went home, got sick, and a medical emergency, and died. 17 years old, a sophomore in high school. There was a biologist in Florida, young, she had gotten married in 2020. Dealt with a brain tumor for the past 20 months, died at the age of 29. My own sister died from cancer at the age of 40. My mama lived to the young age of 95. My aunt lives in Orville, 97, still on her own. All of us sitting here today have story after story of people that we know, that we can tell, age ranges. And some of those people that have died, we know, didn't know Jesus. I have a cousin that but as Christians, we don't mourn as those with no hope. Because Jesus said, I am the life and the resurrection. Two weeks ago, celebrated Resurrection Sunday. I am the life and the resurrection. Even if you die, you will live. In Christ, we have that hope. Jesus told the thief on the cross, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Paul said in Philippians 1, to die is gain because I get to be with Christ. 2 Corinthians, Paul said that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. This is for believers. This is believers. But those who don't know Jesus, those who have not accepted him as Lord and Savior, and again, for those of us that maybe have allowed the worries of the world, the deception of wealth, to choke out our spiritual life, it's possible. They can choke our life out. Now is the time. Now. Now is the time to make a decision. Now is the time to make the changes that we need to make. The question on our Sunday school sheet was, what are we willing to give up to have more of God? Now is the time to follow and obey with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength. To accept him as our Savior, forgiveness of sins, but also to accept him as Lord, to do what he says, also to accept him as King, to serve him rather than myself. I get up every morning, and most of the time, I get up to serve myself. Oh, I jibber-jabber to God all day long, but sometimes my ear is deaf to what he's saying back because I'm jibber-jabbering too much. Now is the time. While we still have breath in our lungs, life in our bodies. Because honestly, later today, that may not be true.